to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. I'm going to begin this morning our message with verse 13. Now I want to share with you this morning from the Word of God upon the subject of the idea, what is the Lord Jesus to you? What is the Lord Jesus to you? You got to take a little trip with me this morning to set the stage for what our lesson's about today as we share God's Word together. Jesus has died on the cross for the sins of sorry old you and I. He was buried quickly, and after 3 days, he arose. His disciples, getting word from a bunch of women, found out that he was no longer in that grave. Peter and John ran, and Peter outran him, went into the grave there and saw the linen clothes and everything, and nothing to do with him. But what about the others? I want to talk to you about them for a little bit. Here they are. They have invested 3.5 years of their life into the ministry of Jesus. And now that he has gone to the cross and died and been taken down, buried, and arose, they didn't understand that. They certainly didn't agree with it. You know, their common everyday senses told them that that just wasn't practical. That just could not be in their hearts and their lives. So they began to scatter. And two of them, who lived in a place called Emmaus, began a 7-mile trip home to go back and return to their old ways and their old life that they were doing before they met Jesus and came to know him as Lord and Savior. Think about it for a minute. They're walking along. They're talking. They're sharing. They're on a good pity party, I kind of think, talking to each other and telling each other, you know, man, I just can't believe that he wasn't who he said he was. I can't believe that he didn't set up a military or political providence here in Jerusalem, and he is the Messiah, the Savior, the one we're looking for. And who would have ever thought, you know, that all the things that we watched and we saw him do and all the places he went and all the things that he did, blinking blinded eyes to see, and just named miracle after miracle after miracle. And they're just talking and they're just pouring out their grief to each other as they walk along. And as they're doing so, all of a sudden, right in their midst, boom, Jesus shows up. Now, he knew where they were at. He knew what they were doing. Just like he knows later that Peter's going to gather his little group up and he's going to go fishing. He give up. He believed that it was all for naught. So he told other disciples, said, I go a-fishing. And a lot of them said, we'll go with you. You know the story how Jesus had them many times go gather them back up and bring them back in and put them back in their rightful place. I want you to notice something about this 7-mile walk that Jesus takes with these two disciples here. Cleopas is one of them. We don't know the other one's name. Look at verse 13. It said, behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 3 furlongs long, or 7 miles. They talked to each other of all these things which had happened. They were communicating and they were going backwards and forwards. We don't know what their previous occupation was, but I can imagine, you like Peter said, I'm going fishing. If they were a blacksmith, or if they were a carpenter, or if they were a net maker, or whatever their trade was, I imagine they was talking about going back and opening up their shop and dusting off the shelves and shining up their tools and getting ready to go back to what they was doing, that they just wasted 3.5 years of their life with this man called Jesus, their heart and their life. But the scripture says, as they walked and talked together about all these things which had happened, it came to pass. What does that mean? It happened, that's right. That while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Just out of nowhere, he appears and begins to walk with them and their 7-mile journey. Verse 16 says, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? What are you so beat down for? Why are you so downtrodden? What are you talking about? What makes you so sad in your heart and your life? They asked him a question. Cleophas did. He said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Where you been, fella? How did you miss? If you were anywhere around Jerusalem, you knew the upstir. You knew the crucifixion. You knew the burial. You knew today's the third day that if he is going to rise, he'd be out of that grave. They didn't understand what. They were talking to him, did they? Didn't understand that the very one that they were looking at, that their eyes were beholding of, they couldn't see and know him for who he was till the Lord got ready for him. But as I ask you that question in the beginning of my message, what is Jesus to you? For these two individuals, Jesus was just a stranger. Listen what they said to him. Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Jesus said unto them, what things? What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Did you catch what they said there? The Lord asked them, said, what things? Here's their answer. Follow it real close, okay? They said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, the very man they were standing there talking to face to face. They told him, when he asked them what things, he said, Jesus of Nazareth, which was past tense, meaning that for them, 3 days prior to this, when he went to that cross and died on that cross for their sins, that it was over with. Their hope for an earthly Messiah had vanished. He was a prophet. Jesus was not a prophet. Jesus was a Savior. He was our Lord and Savior, sent from his Father to redeem this old world of ours. He said, he gave him a good send-off here. He said he was a prophet and he was mighty in deeds. Man, there's just no limit to what all that he did in his heart and his life. And words before God and all the people. Man, he could preach a sermon. He could teach a Sunday school class. He could do a lot of things. But they never gave him credit for who he was in their hearts and their lives concerning of them. What was their first impression of him? Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? What about you? What is the Lord to you in your heart and their life? Is he only a stranger? I believe with all of my heart that there's thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that Jesus is just a stranger to them. They know of him. They've heard of him. And they've witnessed a lot of things that he's done in the lives of individuals. But as far as they're concerned, he's just a stranger. Just a stranger. Think about that in their hearts and their lives. They went on to say in verse 20 how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things was done. If he's going to come out of that grave, he ought to come out. Let us see him. They were standing right there looking him in the face and didn't know who he was. How many people today know of the Lord, but they don't know the Lord as Savior of their hearts and their lives? They said, now, I can tell you this. There's some women that was, when it got cracking day, they was at that tomb. And they brought back a report of a vision of angels that were alive. And certain of them that went into the sepulcher and they found that it was even so that the women had said. But him they saw not. Him they saw not. Not only was he a stranger to them, but right now he's being a friend to them. Because he's fixing to set the record straight for them in their heart and their life. Listen what he tells them. Oh, fools. Why did he call them fools? They were foolish because they couldn't see what was right before their very eyes. What was so, we take salvation and we try to make it so difficult, so hard. He said, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. He's going to go in a few minutes with them on this 7-mile trip. He's going to go all the way back to Exodus, and he's going to come forward with all the major prophets of the Old Testament. And their purpose is they wound that thread that binds us together all the way through the book of the Old Testament into the book of the New Testament and the birth of our Lord and Savior and then the death of him and then the resurrection and the ascension back to the Father. Look at verse 26. He said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Was it a waste for him to go to that cross and die? Suffer like he did? Go through the pain, the agony, and disgrace that they put him through? And he said, ought not God to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Go back to his Father, where he came from. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning him. What was he to them? First, he was a stranger. Now he's a friend. Because a friend will do what? Stick closer than a brother, won't he? A friend will be there for us through thick and thin, won't he? Friend will tell us of the love of God, what he's doing for us. Jesus said, oh, you foolish bunch of individuals. I've tried to express to you all the way to the death of the cross, but you wouldn't listen. But listen what he tells in verse 28. When they drew near unto the village, whither they went, he made as though that he would have gone further. He tells them by, and they fall off to go to their home. And they said, no, it's getting late. Dark's upon us. Come on, you can stay at our house tonight. We'll get some water to wash your feet. We'll get some food for your belly. We'll get a pillow for your head. You come stay with us. they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. See, he didn't push himself on these two individuals. He didn't work some miraculous miracle right before their eyes that would have said to them, "Hey, I am the Messiah. I am the one that died on that cross. I am the one that was buried in that tomb. I am the one that rose again. It is I." He didn't say that, did he? The scripture says they constrained him and he abided with them. And it came to pass. What does that mean? It happened. As he set at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Somebody want to tell me what that was representative of? What had he just done with them 3 or 4 days prior to this? He got in that large upper room. They had their supper. After supper, he reached over and he took that bread and he broke it and he blessed it and he gave it to each one of them. When he did that simple act, he didn't make blinded eyes to see. He didn't make a lame person to walk or a deaf to talk. He just simply took the bread and he broke it. And what did they recognize? He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is our Redeemer in our hearts and our lives. The scripture says he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to them, and praise God, their eyes were opened. Their eyes was open. No longer is he a stranger to them. He's now their friend. But more than a friend, he's their Redeemer. What does it mean to redeem something? To buy it back, isn't it? I can take my old gun and go down to the pawn shop and I can hock it for $50 and they say you've got 10 days to come back and get it and it costs you $75 or whatever. I got a choice to make. Either go back and redeem it or lose it, right? In our hearts and our lives, Jesus went to that cross to redeem us from our sins in our hearts and our lives. What he has done for them in their hearts and their lives. Verse 31 says, watch it, three things happened there. Their eyes were open. Number two, they knew him. Number three, he vanished out of their sight. Just as quick as he came, he gone. He left them out of their midst. Got any idea where he probably went? Went on to hunt some more of them wayfaring strangers that have drifted off and gone back and give up and decided that it just wasn't worth it. They'd wasted 3.5 years of their life and all these things that, guess who, old Satan was probably right there, what, whispering in their ear. Yeah, fooled y'all, didn't it? Wasted y'all's time and energy stuff. The scripture says that he vanished out of their sight. They said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture? Did not our hearts burn? They recognize the presence of the Spirit of God taking up abode in their hearts and their lives. When he saw him, what was Jesus to them now? No longer a stranger. He's their friend. He's their Redeemer. Now he's their teacher. He teaches. You know, once we come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior of our hearts and our lives, it's important that we study the scriptures and we hear the word preached. We see a Sunday school lesson taught. We see a Bible school conducted. We see whatever it takes to get the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world round about us. And what the Lord is wanting to do for us in our hearts and our lives concerning this. And the scripture says, while he talked with us, by the way, he opened to us the scripture. What'd they do? They sit down and sit and forget about it? Notice what they did. They rose up that same hour. They forgot about how tired their feet was from that 7-mile journey to Emmaus. They turned around at nearly dark and headed right back to Jerusalem. And when they got there, they found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them. What miracle did he use? The breaking of bread. Just a simple gesture. Why do we, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me? To remind us what? That God is not a stranger to those that love him. He's a friend. He's our redeemer. He's our teacher. And lastly, he's our master. Listen what he says here. "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit." It's a ghost. Can't be real. They've ever one done checked him out as being what? Dead. He said unto them, "Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Have ye here any meat?" He wants them to see that physically he has returned these 40 days and making his appearance to them as their Lord and Master, that he's ever been as human as you and I. But he's ever been God as Lord and Master of our lives, what he's done for us. I wonder if you'll be honest this morning. What is God to you? What is Jesus to you? What he has done for you in your heart and your life? Is he just a stranger? Oh, I know of him. I know of him, Brother Larry. Yeah, I've heard about him. I go to church some. I'm faithful to do this and I can do that. Do you know him? Is he just a stranger? Maybe you just made a friend of him. You think that whenever you need him, you can call on him, you know. I got some folks that I call my friend, and I know if I picked up the phone and asked them for something, they would be there. They'd help me to the best of their ability. But he's far more than a friend to me. He's my redeemer. He bought my sins on that cross and saved my soul. Now he's my teacher. Now he's my teacher. Many of you tell me, "Brother Larry, I can understand what you're trying to say to you. You're a good teacher." You know, we got to know what the scripture says to us. We got to know what Satan's trying to do to us out there. And we got to be able to separate them out and fight the good fight. Then in the end, we can say, "Good master, good master." He took that fish and that honeycomb and he ate it. treated you like if he were still the man that was born to Mary. And he said to them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the laws of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scripture. My prayer this morning for each and every one of us is that we know who the Lord really is. That he's not a stranger. He's not just a friend, he's a redeemer. And he's a teacher. And he is an individual. That when we trust him as Lord and Savior of our hearts and our lives, we then have the right to call him Master. Master. Savior. Lord. In our hearts and our lives. Would you pray with me? What is Jesus to you this morning? Lord forbid he's just a stranger, somebody that you know of but you don't really know. Yes, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's a redeemer. He redeemed you by going to that cross, dying on that cross for your sins, mine. He loved you just that much. Teacher, what's the work of the Holy Spirit? We flipped over a couple of chapters here to Acts, right in the beginning. We would find where Jesus breathed on these disciples, the Holy Spirit. They became teachers, and he sent them out into the highways and byways to tell a lost and dying world about Jesus. And they could call him Master. Is he your master this morning? Pray for so many people, they're their own master. They're going to do things their way. And they're content to just let him be a stranger. But they want him to be a friend as well as a stranger. So if they need him, he can be there for them, their heart and their life. I don't want him to be a stranger. I don't want him to be a friend. I want him to be my master. And I want him to be yours. If you never trust him as Lord and Savior, never followed him in baptism, never become a member of his church, never let him be the Lord of your life, never let him teach you the ways that he wants you to go, I would that you'd come this morning and say, "Brother Larry, would you pray with me?" That I could ask him to come into my heart and my life and let him be the master of my life. Do his will in my life. Whatever God's speaking to you about, would you be obedient this morning and do God's will? Father, search us and know us, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. What do we sing, Brother Ernie?